In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who has given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins. By thy Holy Spirit, increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, true obedience to thy word, and that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name, he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. The epistle lesson for this New Year's Eve service is found recorded in the second epistle or letter of the Apostle Paul to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 14 through 18, and reads as follows. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here endeth the epistle lesson. Let's now sing hymn 118. Thank you. Our gospel lesson this evening is found recorded in the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 12, beginning at verse 4 and reading through to verse 9 as follows. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. Here endeth the gospel lesson. Let us now confess our Christian faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed, as this is found on page 12 in the front of our hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, life everlasting. Thank you. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this evening is found recorded in the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verses 22 through 32, and reads as follows. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He sitteth alone and keepeth silence, because he hath borne it upon him. He putteth his mouth in the dust, if so be, there may be hope. He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion, according to the multitude of his mercies. This is our text. Beloved friends in Christ and fellow hearers of his word, in the epistle lesson designated for the fourth Sunday in Advent, we heard that the Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Christians in Philippi, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice." So the Bible tells us to rejoice in the Lord at all times. But how is that even possible? And what exactly is to be the cause of such continuous rejoicing? It is God's great love for us, the forgiveness of all our sins, his saving grace that he grants us, his fatherly protection throughout life, all of that grace through our Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, that should fill us with joy, gladness at all times. So does that mean it's a sin to be sad? No, it does not mean that. The Bible says that Jesus, who never sinned, was sad and even wept over the city of Jerusalem because of their general unbelief. In fact, the book from which our text for this evening is taken is called Lamentations. And that is the plural noun form of the verb to lament, which simply means to express great sadness or sorrow or grief, to cry, to mourn. And it's called that because in this book, the prophet Jeremiah expresses deep sadness at the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the beautiful temple of the Lord. God had raised up Nebuchadnezzar to bring about that destruction as a punishment for the general idolatry of the Jews at that time. So we can understand why the prophet Jeremiah would express grief and sadness and lament. However, in this section of Lamentations that we have as our text for today, we can clearly see that Jeremiah was not despairing. Jeremiah had not lost all hope. On the contrary, he calls attention to the enduring mercy of God, even when he afflicts us with pain in his love and wisdom for our good. So then, being edified by the comfort contained in this word of God set before us, let us rejoice in the mercies of God for Christ's sake. We shall first observe how the Lord has shown us great mercy over the past year. And secondly, how that even his chastenings have been for our good. Now may God the Holy Ghost bless the consideration of his word in your hearts and in your lives. we would no doubt be very surprised and deeply ashamed beyond measure if the Lord would reveal the total number of times we sinned this past year, or even just over the past 24 hours. And if the Lord God would deal with us according to what we deserve, we would all be sent to hell, there to suffer with the devil and his evil angels for all eternity. The Bible tells us, "If thou, Lord, shouldest mark or take note of iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand?" And the answer to that question is, no one. No one can stand to be judged by God on the basis of his law. His law would condemn us all as being terribly guilty of sin and worthy of damnation. The Bible declares, no man is justified, declared righteous, by the law in the sight of God. The fact that God does not destroy us, but forgives us all our sins, is purely on account of Christ Jesus' work of redemption, and is evidence of his never-failing grace and mercy. Accordingly, we read in the first two verses of our text for this evening, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed or destroyed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Yes, every single morning of the year 2024, the Lord bestowed his merciful blessings upon us. And we know that he will continue to do so every day that lies ahead, in accordance with his faithful promises, for his mercy endureth forever. True Christians know and rejoice in the fact that their Lord is most gracious to them for Christ's sake. In him we have everything that we need, even if we do not have all that much when it comes to earthly possessions. We read in our text, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." That God is our portion simply means that he is all that we need. He's more important than everything else. And we see in this verse, as well as in verses 26 and 29 in our text, the Christian is described as one who hopes in the Lord. And as many of you probably remember, when the Bible describes a Christian's hope, it is not referring to something that is uncertain. It's not just a desire for something that may or may not come to pass. The Bible terms faith and hope are very similar to each other. Hope is, in fact, faith that's directed ahead to the future, clinging to promises that have not yet been received, but which certainly will be received because God has promised them to us, such as his promises of taking us to heaven when we die, or his promises of loving protection in the year that lies ahead. We read in the next two verses of our text, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Notice here twice that the Christians are described as those who wait for the Lord. Though our sinful flesh may tempt us to be impatient, especially in times of need when God isn't answering our prayers exactly as we have in mind, exactly as fast as we'd want him to, yet according to our new man, we do still wait for the Lord. He wants us to exercise such Christian patience and trust that his timing is perfect. So if we do get frustrated and impatient, all that shows is that we don't have the kind of strong trust in God's promises that we should. So the remedy for that is to remember and really take to heart the fact that God is faithful to his promises, that he loves us very much for Christ's sake, We should cast all our care upon him, being confident that he cares very much for us, calling upon him in the day of trouble, trusting that he will deliver us according to his promises. And the thing that we are told in this verse 26, specifically to wait for, is the salvation of the Lord. That refers to how he delivers us from all kinds of evil, all kinds of evil in this life, and finally, delivering us from all evil entirely by taking us home to heaven. This is what we pray for in the seventh petition of the Lord's Prayer, as Jesus taught us to pray, deliver us from evil. As we are now at the end of the year 2024, we can look back over the past year and see how God has always kept his promises of protection and care. And in the new year that lies ahead, we can be confident that he will still always keep those promises until he brings us out of this veil of tears to himself in heaven, based on that great salvation prepared for us by Christ. Now, reviewing in our minds the things that have happened over the past year, we may remember quite a bit of pain experienced. It could include physical pain and emotional pain. And when we look ahead to the year that lies ahead, we can be certain that there'll be even more pain there. Yes, 2025 will include more pain and sorrow. God tells us in his inspired word, we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So, it should not surprise us, distress us, or shake our faith when we do suffer in this life, when we suffer hardships and afflictions. God's already warned us about it. He's told us to expect it. But why does our loving Heavenly Father lead us in pathways that cause us to experience pain and sadness? He certainly has the power to prevent us from suffering. Yes, but that wouldn't be good for us. In this present life, in this sinful existence, surrounded by sin, having sin within us, it's actually good for us to suffer. And it's good for us to learn important spiritual lessons through such suffering. This is what our text describes in the next verse, where it says, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." And the lessons that God wants us to learn through such sufferings, yes, they should be learned in our youth and should be remembered and applied every day of our life. Even though a great deal of suffering here on earth comes from the devil, from the sins of other people against us, yet it is also true that if we are thus suffering, it is the Lord who has chosen to allow it, and that for our good. After the devil had taken away all his riches and killed all of his children, the very strong Christian, Job, humbly submitted to the Lord, saying this, "The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in the next verse of our text, the Christian is described as one who suffers patiently in the knowledge that his Heavenly Father is the one who has laid this yoke of affliction upon him. We read, "He," the Christian, "sitteth alone and keepeth silence, not complaining, because he," the Lord, "hath borne it upon him." God's put this burden upon him, so he accepts it. Understanding that the chastening comes from our dear Lord will help us Christians bear the burden, bear the yoke, with quiet patience, not complaining against him. In such sufferings, we're never to turn against God in frustration, anger, or despair. Instead, we are always to cling in hope to the promises of God's love. Thus we read in the next verse, "He putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope." Yes, the Lord may put us down in the dust. But rather than murmur and complain about that, he wants us to remain hopeful, trusting in the promises of his love. The sufferings of this earthly life should drive us into the gospel for comfort and also direct our paths according to God's law. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law." And again, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." It is through God's word that the Holy Ghost desires to strengthen our faith and increase our patience and hope through sufferings. And one of the things that can cheer us in the midst of suffering, especially when we're suffering the hatred of this world against us, specifically because we're the followers of Christ, is to remember that that is proof that we're on the right side, that we're aligned with the Savior against this wicked world. And they hate us as they hated him, as they've always hated the true followers of God. If we keep this in mind, and if we keep in mind the fact that great joy awaits us after this earthly life of suffering is over, that will help us endure the world's scorn much better. And we can even rejoice to suffer for Christ's sake. This is why Jesus tells us, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." The way that a Christian should patiently endure the scorn and ridicule of this sinful world is described in the next verse of our text as follows. "He giveth his cheek to him that smiteth him. He is filled full with reproach." Now, if we would be reproached or scorned on account of our sinful behavior, then we would have great reason to feel shame. We'd have great reason to be ashamed and sorrowful. But when we suffer on account of our Christian faith, on account of letting our Christian light shine before men, well, that's nothing to be ashamed of at all. Accordingly, the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." That paradoxical statement that when we are weak, then we are strong, is most certainly true because God's strength is with us at all times, even when we are very, very weak in ourselves. Even when brought very low, suffering immense pain and hardships in this life, God gives us enough strength to bear the cross and even causes us to thrive under it, under his merciful blessings. Yes, God may cause us to endure pain, but he always works it together for our good. This is the point that is beautifully expressed in the last two verses of our text, where we read, "For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies." And if we look back with clarity over the year that's only a few hours left to go before it's over, we can see that God's always kept his word. He's always protected us, guided us, He has allowed us to suffer pain. He's allowed accidents and sicknesses to befall us, but he's always held us by the hand and worked all things together for our good. And not because we deserved it, but because of his mercy, his compassion, his grace for us in Christ Jesus. The new year will certainly also include pain and sorrow, mental and physical anguish. But that should not scare us or cause us to worry, because again, God will go with us into the new year. Never forget that. Never doubt it. The Lord never has and never will forsake you or break any of his promises. He promises never to allow too great of a hardship or temptation to overcome you. You can trust that promise because he's faithful. That attribute of God means he never breaks his word. The Apostle Paul says in his first letter to the Corinthians, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer," which means will not allow, "you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." So as we have in the past, so we shall also in the future be kept safe and secure in the Lord's never-failing grace and mercy. All for the sake of Christ Jesus, who gave himself into death for our salvation, who only allows things to happen to us which is for our good. Even when we pass through the valley of the shadow of death, we need fear no evil, because our tender shepherd, our merciful God, will hold us in his grace until he finally brings us home to heaven. Amen. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank thee for all the blessings thou hast in thy great mercy showered upon us during the past year. And of those blessings, we now bring this offering to thee and ask thee to bless it according to thy good pleasure for the work of thy church and to the honor of thy holy name. Amen. Let us rise to pray. O Lord of heaven and earth, the author of life and preserver of our being, we give thee most humble and heartfelt thanks for thy goodness and mercy which have followed us all our days. And especially we praise thee for thy many and various blessings during the year now drawing to a close. Thou hast granted us life and favor, blessed the work of our hands, given us meat in due season, and crowned the year with thy goodness. Thou hast caused our country to prosper. Thou hast guarded our homes and sheltered us under the shadow of thy wings. Thou hast preserved thy church among us and kept us from falling away, blessing us with all spiritual blessings in Christ our Savior. O Lord, what are we that thou shouldest be so mindful of us and so gracious unto us? Our sins testify against us. All our transgressions are known by thee, and none can tell but thou how many and how great they are. Therefore we again humble ourselves before thee, confessing and lamenting all that we have done amiss. For the sake of thine only begotten Son, pardon and blot out our offenses, our ingratitude, our indifference to thy gracious word, our unbelief and disobedience, our uncharitableness in thought, word, and deed. Cleanse us from all our sins, and let them be buried with the closing year, to rise up against us no more forever. O God, the passing years remind us of our frailty. We are but dust and ashes. Our years pass away like a shadow or a vapor, which appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away. Amid the many changes of this fleeting world, thou alone abidest forever. Thou art our dwelling place in all generations. Thou art our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. We praise thee from our heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Accept our praise, O Lord, and continue to show us thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Keep us mindful, O Lord, as the years of our life pass away, that we are but strangers and pilgrims on earth, and that the end of all things is at hand. Teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts to the wisdom of thy word, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let us therefore with the old year put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and put on the new man, which after thee is created in righteousness and true holiness. Make us sober and watchful unto prayer. Let us continually walk in thy fear, and help us to keep the true and saving faith always in our hearts. Let us give to thee the best of our days, and not weary ourselves in those things which are but vanity. May we always be ready with our loins girt about and with our lights burning brightly for thy coming. And when our flesh and hearts fail us, be thou our strength and our portion forever. Hear us for thy dear Son's sake, in whose name we furthermore pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
Lord God, Heavenly Father, from whom cometh down every good and perfect gift, we thank Thee that in the past year Thou hast granted unto us Thy gracious protection. Thou hast given us health and daily bread, and crowned us with Thy blessing. Defend Thy Christian Church from harm and danger, and in a manner acceptable to Thee, help us to conclude the old year and enter upon the new, in which Thou wouldst be pleased to continue to dwell among us with Thy goodness. For the sake of Thy dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with Thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. We shall now sing verse 4 of hymn 97.